Hi everyone, this is Kayfan Girl. I hope you're having a good weekend. Today, I thought I would talk a little bit about something that's kind of been percolating in my mind lately, and that is about what makes good romance on our screens. And the reason that this has been on my mind really is because I have this impression that some of us at least, have been talking about how some of the recent romances have been kind of disappointing or underwhelming or not meeting our expectations. And it's not limited to one show. It feels like it has been a number of shows lately. And I just kind of started thinking about it and, you know, about what it is that I feel is missing in these various shows. And then also, you know, like what are some of the main factors that I think help to make these on-screen romances work better? And then what are some shows that stand out in my mind as having done well in most of these categories, if not all of these categories? I honestly haven't really mapped out like a very detailed idea of where it is, like how I want to break this down, but I'm going to try. So let me start with talking a little bit about some of the shows that have been recently kind of underwhelming. And since I've just watched the episodes this weekend of Would You Marry Me, let me start there. I will try to keep this spoiler light, but I think most of us are watching Would You Marry Me. And if you're not watching it already, I'm guessing that you're not planning to. So anyway, I started watching Would You Marry Me really happily, actually, because I like both Chong So-min and Choi Woo-shik, and I like the cheery, very bright, breezy kind of vibe that this show gives, and it has given me kind of like old school rom-com kind of vibes in like a good way, because I feel like it's been a while since we've had one of those. And so I was not fussed at all in terms of how tropey it was and stuff like that. In fact, I'll say right now that I think tropes don't make or break a romance for me. It really depends on, I think, other things and also how the tropes themselves are used. So this weekend, Would You Marry Me aired episode 9 and 10, which I would consider the penultimate episodes. And then next week, we're gonna get the finale. And so in the penultimate episodes, as expected, there is a lot of dramatic tension and angst introduced. And I found that I didn't really feel very engaged or invested in the narrative tension that was introduced. Broadly speaking, the narrative tension introduced are all external factors, and one of which is Mary's ex-boyfriend, ex-fiance, and the other being there's this whole kind of corporate hijacking that shady uncle wants to pull off. So the thing that I've been chewing on is, like, I've been wondering, like, why it is that I don't feel very invested in these penultimate episodes. And my first theory was that, oh, it's because the narrative tension comes from external forces. And my initial hypothesis was that, okay, so because the narrative tension comes from external sources and it doesn't actually delve into what's really happening between our OTP, I concluded that that was why the narrative tension just wasn't grabbing me. But on further thought, I actually think that this isn't quite it. I mean, it's part of it. But I think that digging deeper, it is that the OTP relationship has not been properly teased out. You know, like, it feels like, when I look back on the episodes, it feels like the show is doing reasonably well. And then round about the point where Uju realizes that he has feelings for Mary, it feels like we just kind of like skip over all the important bits and just kind of jump right into, oh, she likes him back, and then, oh, now they're dating. I mean, I'm simplifying, certainly, but I honestly feel that the writers just kind of glossed over a big chunk of what could have been meaningful OTP interactions in terms of them really figuring out their feelings for each other, and then maybe getting a feel for how the other person feels, and then maybe, you know, like having a conversation, maybe like testing the waters, like having a, you know, something more heartfelt in terms of the official confession. I just feel that some of these elements were missing. And so, like, we kind of leapfrogged from a love confession that just kind of, honestly, it felt like it was pulled out of almost nowhere, like, kind of prematurely, I would say, as well. It just kind of, like, pulled out of almost nowhere, and then suddenly, before you know it, he's kissing her. I mean, not straight away. I think we have like a whole episode of stuff in between. But like by the end of the next episode, I think he's kissing her. And then suddenly the OTP is minted. And once they're minted, like, it feels like, to me, it feels as if the writers feel like, okay, you know, we've done our jobs and the OTP is good now, and there's nothing more that we need to do to strengthen their relationship. They're like rock solid, more or less, and we can just dive into the external forces that are going to try to tear them apart. And I disagree. Look at me, like, bringing up my own hypothesis and then like disagreeing with myself. But yeah, okay, so what I think a good on-screen romance does is that what I want anyway, what I want is I want the romance to be teased out in a way that feels organic. I want the connection to feel like it builds in a natural way that I can believe that these people would go from not knowing each other to knowing each other to actually falling for each other. And then, like, how do they figure this out, and how does that emotion get expressed, how does that translate into a love confession, how does that love confession evolve into them actually starting a relationship, and then how does the relationship fare once it has been established. I personally want to know all of these things, and I feel like the more I know of these things, the more I feel able to buy into this relationship, to believe that it's real, to be affected by the happenings of this couple. Another element I think is very important is the OTP chemistry. So this really has to do with like individual pairings. And sometimes the OTP chemistry is great, sometimes it's not great, and sometimes it's deceptive. When I say deceptive, I'm thinking of two specific shows. Okay, so let me start with Good Boy. And if you have watched Good Boy, maybe you know exactly what I'm going to talk about. Because in Good Boy, we have Park Bo-gum and we have Kim So-hyun, both of whom I consider very solid actors. And while I was watching, I mean, I didn't feel that the story needed a love line, but, you know, they introduced the love line between Park Bo-gum's character and Kim So-hyun's character, and I was like, okay, fine, fine, fine. As long as they do this well, and as long as this feels, you know, natural and organic to the story, I'm fine with this. I'm not anti-romance. I don't think it needs a romance, but if you give me a good one, I'm not gonna complain, you know? And then what happens is that we have Park Bo-gum wearing like adoring puppy eyes in Kim So-hyun's direction for a chunk of the show. And then she's all kind of like quite gruff on the surface, but we do get little hints that she is not that opposed to receiving attention from Park Bo-gum's character. And the weird thing that I found is that as long as they were not a couple, I felt that their chemistry was fine. You know, like nothing to really write home about. It wasn't like super electric or anything. But if he wore like this sad, wistful gaze in her direction, I believed him, you know. And if she looked worried about him, I believed her. However, my findings, or at least this is my own observation, if you had a different experience, please share, you know? But in my experience, when this couple was minted, the moment they had any kind of skinship, once he touched her or once she touched him, like that was the end. It became negative chemistry to my eyes. And so I think there were a couple of kiss scenes in the show for this couple. And I basically kind of gritted my teeth through all of them because I felt like it was negative chemistry. It felt forced. It felt awkward. And I would say that the same thing happened in Summit of Our Youth, which, if you recall, I watched fairly recently when I was not, you know, up to doing work because I was kind of really weak and ordered to strictly rest. And so I picked Summit of Our Youth and binged the whole thing. And I would say that I had the exact same reaction to the main OTP of this show, whereby I felt like they were both decent enough actors. Not super familiar with either of them, although I had seen the male lead in Amidst a Snowstorm of Love, where he played the third male lead. I thought the chemistry was decent as long as they were at some distance from each other. The moment they start kissing, and there were several kiss scenes, the moment they start kissing, it is the most awkward, painful thing ever. And like, I just wanted to reach to my screen and tear them apart because it was making me uncomfortable to have to watch them. It's kind of like, it's so awkward, but yet they're pressing on. And I just wanted the director to stop them. So yeah. I have therefore concluded that OTP chemistry is a very important part of this multi-facet equation for me. Like, even if the writing takes the trouble to tease out the OTP connection, if there is not enough OTP chemistry, or in some cases, negative OTP chemistry, then that tanks it for me. It really does. Okay, and then another thing that I think is really important is that, and it's kind of related to what I said, to what I mentioned earlier, and I'm gonna phrase this as, it needs to build up to a payoff. And what I'm talking about is, like, when the writing invests in teasing out the OTP connection and kind of taking time to build up their rapport and their comfort with each other, that's all fine and good, but I've noticed that some dramas don't seem to believe in giving you payoff. It's like they build up, and then you think that by the time the OTP is minted, it's gonna be like something fantastic, you know, like something really solid. But then the actual minting of the OTP and everything afterwards is like nothing much at all. And the first drama that comes to mind that I feel is guilty of this is A Dream Within a Dream. Because in A Dream Within a Dream, I don't think the OTP is this show's biggest strength. But I will say that in the earlier stretch of the story, there was a period of time where I was quite delighted with how the show was playing with the potential OTP connection, where, you know, like they have this almost like they start off kind of like enemies, and then later on, you know, like he falls for her, but like she's not having any of it, but like she has a crush on his alter ego and stuff like that. And it was building up to a point where I thought, wow, you know, like when they finally get together, that will be something that I would like to see, because there were some genuinely promising moments leading up to the minting of the OTP. But when we actually get to the minting of the OTP, it's kind of underwhelming to me. It's like, oh, he kisses her, and then eventually she accepts him, and then after all that emotion of, you know, coming around to accept him, it feels like quite anticlimactic, because after that it feels as if they leapfrog straight into old married couple dynamic. I'm like, what? You know, and I feel like some shows do this. Maybe Chinese dramas are more guilty of it. I'm thinking Prisoner of Beauty is kind of in the same basket in my mind, where the show spends episode upon episode upon episode having the OTP dance around each other, where you know, they take turns liking the other person and then the other person's oblivious, which to me made no sense whatsoever. And then finally when they're together, it's just like, oh, okay, we're done, they're together, we're good now. There's no real exploration of the relationship, and also there's no real exploration of, I mean, there's no real payoff. Like, we've gone through so much for these two to finally be on the same page. You know, okay, to be fair, Prisoner of Beauty does have a decently tantalizing OTP consummation scene. But I still feel that thereafter, they're just like conveniently plonked into like old married couple kind of a basket. And I, you know, I can see why, for example, Elaine tends to wander off from dramas after the OTP is minted. I mean, if the writing around the minting of the OTP was better, and if the post-minting of the OTP stretch is like better explored, better teased out, maybe that wouldn't actually be a thing that people would wander off after the OTP is minted. You know, like, I think that there's so much potential to explore in terms of the relationship dynamics at every step of the OTP relationship, including after they have come together officially, that I think, you know, writers could afford to, I feel like writers should and would do well to spend more time exploring that. However, I will admit that it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to write realistic relationships. It's not an easy thing to write like thoughtfully detailed explorations of relationships. And I believe that that is why a lot of writers kind of take the shortcut, which I think is what we're getting in Would You Marry Me. It's like all shortcut to my eyes, you know? It's like, yes, we're having this slurpy little build-up, and suddenly, bam, he's like confessing, and then we have a little bit of back and forth. I don't even remember what the back and forth is, and then suddenly he's kissing her, and then, okay, now they're together, and like, we don't really explore their relationship in very any kind of meaningful detail afterwards. Like, yes, we do see her offer, you know, words of support in these two most recent episodes, episodes 9 and 10. But yeah, it just, I don't think it is enough. I don't think it's enough to balance out all of the other stuff that they're throwing at us, which includes the corporate takeover arc as well as the ex-boyfriend arc. One thing I will say though, that a really good soundtrack can do a lot to amplify the feels of an OTP relationship. So if a show has very good music, I think it helps. And so yeah, that's like a really roundabout way of saying that, yes, you can use tropes, but the tropes don't make or break the OTP relationship for me. Yeah. And the external pressures, I don't know whether this came across very clearly, but I feel that it's fine to have external pressures present, because that can definitely add interest to the story, and the external pressures can also be, you know, what nudges the OTP together or what forces them to examine certain issues between them or build on certain parts of their relationship. But it's just that the external pressures cannot take over. You know, you just can't replace meaningful relationship development with pure external pressure things. Does that make sense? Yeah, so when I was thinking of, okay, what are some of the shows that are not great in terms, to me, in terms of the romance department? Would You Marry Me? Very recent example, very current example, I should say. And I would also say Typhoon Family. There is a love line between Juno's character and Kim Min-ah's character, and I am not currently invested or really buying it. There's something missing in the writing, and I feel there's also something missing in the delivery, and I am quite perplexed by this because I consider both Juno and Kim Min-ah to be very good actors who are perfectly capable of faking emotion for the role, even if, you know, even if they don't feel like they click with the other person, I feel like they should be able to fake it. And so I'm kind of wondering if it's a directorial choice. But yeah, there's just something that's missing in this OTP, and it's just not working for me. Absolutely not teasing out the relationship, and also not focusing on things that I think are important. Like, he's just telling her that she's pretty, but he's not actually helping her in any meaningful way when that would actually make more sense. So yeah, not a fan of that. I've already mentioned A Dream Within a Dream. Prison of Beauty to a lesser extent. I've mentioned Good Boy. Tempest. Tempest is a recent example where the romance was kind of rushed. And I believe MC talked about this, you know, where, yes, the coming to... Okay, I was actually quite surprised that we had the coming together of the OTP in the first place, because I thought we were just going to get another Blood Free where we would just get a lot of, like, simmering chemistry, but no actual confession of feelings, no actual acting on the feelings. But in Tempest we do. We even get like OTP sexy times, like quite early ish, like by the middle of our story, I think we were already there. And so on the one hand, I can believe that these characters would lean into this relationship because, like, at the point that they decide to do so, the entire world was falling apart. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, you can believe that people would just throw caution to the wind and just kind of like, yeah, heck it, whatever, you know, the world's gonna end and I want to be with you right now. But I think, and MC's very right in pointing out that thereafter, though, the strength of their relationship doesn't seem to have a very strong foundation. And that goes back to what I was talking about earlier about OTP connections needing to be teased out so that we can feel that this connection stands on a strong foundation, you know? That there is some substance to this OTP connection. But in Tempest, it feels like we kind of leapfrogged over that. And it's like, okay, they've slept together once and now they're in love for life. And it's a little bit difficult to buy into. And I think that it is also difficult because lately our dramas are getting shorter. And there is benefit to shorter dramas if the writers know what to do with these fewer episodes. So for example, in last week's voice note, I talked about 1%, something about 1%, where we had, I think, 14, was it 14? I can't remember, 14 or 16 40-minute episodes. And that actually worked out really well. And that OTP was actually very, you know, watchable, and it was, I remember feeling like nicely invested in this OTP. So it's not impossible to work out an organic feeling romance with fewer episodes. And recently we also had A Calm Sea and Beautiful Days with You, which is like 10 episodes only. And in 10 episodes, I mean, I fully bought into the connection of this OTP. But not all short shows manage that. So for example, Would You Marry Me is 12 episodes. But I feel like in terms of the OTP connection, the 12 episodes, more or less, I mean, that we still have two more coming out. But so far, I feel like a good chunk of time has been squandered on filler, like this, you know, the ex coming back and like the corporate takeover. And, you know, that screen time could have been used more meaningfully towards the OTP connection, because although it's true that romance isn't everything, it's also true that we signed up for this show for the romance. Like, who signs up for Would You Marry Me and then says, no, I'm here for the corporate takeover? No one, right? So I just feel like Would You Marry Me is an example of a short show not knowing what to do with its romance. I would also say that Bon Appetit, Your Majesty, similar kind of a deal. We had 12 episodes and then we had three whole episodes squandered on the cooking competition. And yes, I know that there is a portion of our friends on Patreon who actually genuinely enjoyed the cooking competition. And, you know, that's fair. Because, I mean, as a Singaporean, I like seeing beautiful food on my screen too. Food is our national pastime. So I have nothing against food competitions on my screen or screen time dedicated to lovingly creating a dish. Nothing against that. The reason that I bring this out, though, is because the screen time that was spent on the cooking competition could have been used to bolster the development of the OTP relationship. And I feel that the development of the OTP relationship in Bon Appetit was not very strong at all. It's like we kind of see him softening towards her and wanting to spend more time with her, but we don't actually get to see much of it from her side. She's just cooking, you know, and then, I mean, basically cooking for her life, right? But it's important that we see her reciprocate his feelings. And so if they could have kept the cooking competition and made the OTP connection feel so much like much more organic than what we got, I would then possibly have no issues with the cooking competition. But it's just that because it felt like something was missing, and then we had this surplus of cooking time. So the very natural conclusion is like, hey, if you had just kind of spent less time on the cooking and more time on the OTP connection, we could have had a more well-balanced story. Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is it's more that something was missing rather than that there was too much of the cooking. So if they could have made the OTP connection much more organic and substantial, then I would have no issues, I think, with more cooking on screen. Very often with these kinds of like time travel things where it's about, you know, how strong your love is, then it feels even more important that the OTP relationship is really built up to something really solid so that we can believe that their love is this epic, that it would be worth traveling through time for. You know, like for Bon Appetit, Your Majesty, it that part was kind of missing. And I would say the same for Park's Marriage Contract, which I think many of us were disappointed in, because it's like, it's again, it's a time travel thing. If your love is supposed to be so big that it would bend space and time, then you better make it something really compelling, you know? And I think that Queen In-hyun's man did it quite well, because I bought it, and I bought that he would travel through time to find her. And I mean, it was great because Ji Hyun-woo truly was in love with Yoo-in-na. So like, when he looked at her, you believed that he loved her, right? So yeah, that's kind of just a quick roundup of some of the shows that have disappointed me recently. But to end on like a happier note, let me talk also about shows that have really, I feel, in my estimation, have really done good jobs of building up OTP relationships and then delivering and really coming through. The first one that really came to mind is Secret Love Affair, which, you know, it's actually really old now. Time flies, but it's like, it was in 2014. And I'm looking at its page on my drama list right now, and it's down at 7.7, which blows my mind, because this was like an A+ drama for me. I think it was A+, but you know, one of those A grades. And the thing is, I really bought into this OTP connection despite the age gap. I really felt that the writing was very detailed in bringing out the why Kim Hee-ae's character was, you know, would fall for Yoo Ah-in's character and vice versa, like why he would fall for her, why they literally needed each other. And I really bought the chemistry. It really felt like he needed her in order to breathe. And there were external pressures, yes, but I feel that the focus never strayed very far from the impact on their relationship and like the decisions that they made as a result of these external factors were also always brought back to their relationship. So I felt that this was really, really well done. So, you know, it counts as one of the best. I mean, it came to mind, it was the first show that came to mind when I asked myself, what's an example of a drama that does all of this stuff well, you know? And of course, there's Coffee Prince, which to me excels in, I think, the day-to-day connection between our OTP. We had Gong Yu and Yoon Eun-hye, who, like, their characters worked together at the coffee shop, and so we had a lot of small beats of them, you know, spending time together, and, you know, I believed her crush on him, and then I believed him as well, like, when he started experiencing feelings for her, and their chemistry was very natural, very sparky, and I quite liked the exploration of their relationship after they got together, because then there was an exploration of what she wanted to do, you know, rather than just be with him, she wanted more for herself. I think the only thing that I didn't like so much was, like, after the time skip when she came back. I felt that it was a little bit weak, but other than that, very few quibbles about how this OTP relationship was handled. Also, shout out to Taiwanese drama In Time With You, which I really love, because I feel that it really brings out the existing relationship between our leads, who are, like, best friends. And then, like, in all the little details of how they relate with each other and how they then move into a more romantic space and how they navigate this transition and everything, I thought it was really well done. I was fully invested. Highly recommend if you haven't seen it. Then recently we had A Calm Sea and Beautiful Days With You, which I thought did very well in exploring all the small details of married life, even though it was set in the 1930s, but, like, all the little details of married life, the expectations, like, inching closer to each other, becoming comfortable with each other. I love how the show deals with all of those details. Also, fairly recently, there was The First Frost, which I also really liked, and this was a slow burn. So this was 32 episodes, and our OTP doesn't get together very early, but it works in this show's favor, I feel, because our female lead has a lot of emotional healing that she needs to go through, and therefore our male lead needs to also come to a place of understanding where she is with her emotional wounds, like, what even these wounds are. He has to, like, come to an understanding of that, but it's not an easy process. And so I feel like the slow teasing out of all of this was really carefully and thoughtfully done, so much so that when they finally come together, it feels very gratifying and it feels easy to root for this relationship. And yes, there is payoff. They, after all of that build-up, there is payoff. You know, they become a couple that's really sweet and also kind of, like, into the skinship quite well. So I thought this was really, really well done. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. Recently, we had Our Unwritten Soul, which I would say it's not primarily a romance, even though the romances play a very big part in the story. And so I feel like this is kind of slightly different versus something like Would You Marry Me? Because, like, with Would You Marry Me, you, the position of the, like, the romance has top billing, basically. Whereas in Our Unwritten Soul, I feel like the romance has to take a step back, because top billing goes to personal journey more than the romance itself, although the romance supports personal journey. And so I feel like the handling of the romance is slightly different. The amount of screen time it gets also slightly different. Plus we have twins, and so there's more than one love line, and then we have familial relationships, and so they're like, it's more than just romance. So the romances have to kind of take secondary place, and therefore the handling of it has to be different. So for what they were given, I feel like the romance between Hosu and Miji was nicely teased out. Would I have liked it if they had more screen time to explore this relationship? Yes, but this show was only, I believe, 12 episodes. So I feel like they did well with what they were given. When I say they, I mean the writers. I feel like when you wanna fit so much story into 12 episodes, then I feel that our writers divided well. Other shows that come to mind, the best thing, it's actually a lot is about the romance, honestly. It's a very like daily, everyday beats of them, you know, running into each other, how their paths cross in reasonably natural ways, and then, you know, how they get to know each other and stuff. I thought that was actually nicely done. I enjoyed it. It's not a groundbreaking show, but it's a very feel-good show, and I just really liked it. And then this Lovely Runner, which I think was well done. I really liked it. And I believe quite a few of us really liked it when it aired. I feel that the romance felt strong enough to warrant the time travel. Similarly, with Someday or One Day, I felt that the love was strong enough to warrant the time travel, unlike Bon Appetit, Your Majesty, and Park's Marriage Contract. I also really liked Meet Yourself, which again is one of those very natural, organic, slow burn, but believable love lines that is embedded within a healing journey. And I think that that was really nicely done. And then there's Lost, which was also known as Human Disqualification when it was first released. I thought that was really, really well done. Again, the age gap didn't bother me because the writing was so careful in terms of teasing out why these two souls fit each other, like why they were like two jigsaw pieces that fit together. I thought that was really well developed, and I also thought that our leads had good chemistry. Perhaps not as crackly as the chemistry that I felt between Kim Hee-ae and Yoo Ah-in, but still very good. Chun Do-yeon and... oh, what's his name? Ryu Jun-yeol. Yeah, Chun Do-yeon and Ryu Jun-yeol, I think they had good chemistry. And speaking of chemistry, I also wanted to mention Will Love in Spring, because I feel that Lee Sien and Zhou Yutong had really good chemistry and they were very believable, and I really appreciated the writing. Okay, it's true that I felt that the writing in this show tended a little preachy at points, but as far as it dealt with the OTP relationship, in terms of teasing out the details, setting the foundation, getting them together, and then not just maintaining the relationship, but exploring the challenges within their relationship in a meaningful and sensitive way, I thought that was really well done. Would recommend. Yeah, and oh, last but not least, I wanted to give a shout out to Yumi Cells, because this is a very unique example of a show, you know, really diving into like the very faceted, minute details of how we think and how we overthink and how we respond to the other person, how we respond to the relationship, why we think the way we think, why we feel the way we feel, why we decide the way we decide. And I feel like both seasons of Yumi Cells did very well in these aspects, so much so that I don't even mind that we changed male leads between seasons. And yeah, because I feel like the writing was so on point in terms of like teasing out what it's like to be human in that situation, you know, like when you're falling in love, when you're falling out of love, when you feel awkward, when you feel embarrassed, when you feel humiliated, when you feel betrayed, when you know, all of these things. I feel like the show explores really, really well. And I also do feel that Kim Go-eun had good chemistry with both of her male leads. You know, and so whether it was Woom in season 1, played by An Bo-hyun, or whether it was Bobby in season 2, played by Park Jin-young, I felt that she had good chemistry with both actors, and I think that definitely helped as well. Yeah, so talk about exploring relationship dynamics, right? Like, you have all of the cells helping with that in Yumi Cell. So very much think that that's a great example. So anyway, I have been rambling for quite a while. So if you're still here, thank you for sticking it out with me. I hope you found this voice note interesting or entertaining or thought-provoking. If you have your own thoughts to share about this topic, about what makes a romance on screen work, please do share, because, you know, I would love to know what you think. Or if you have other great dramas to suggest that have, you know, excellent romances and really well done, please let us know in the comments as well, because sharing is caring. So anyway, that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for hanging out. I hope you guys have a great week ahead, and I'll speak to you very soon in the next voice note. 안녕!